Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast tonight.
But first.
We keep up with stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Killed it. Good job.
He is the head of household, Will Simmons.
You are my big dumb puppet.
He sounds like JC. I'm Spencer Kelly. And this is After Reality. Thanks for joining us on the Mixed Bag. We know it's been a couple of weeks on the Mixed Bag, and actually it's probably been more than a couple of weeks. So we apologize, but we are back. We are talking Big Brother, some of your MTV favorites from a couple of Shore shows, maybe even a little Bravo. So it's good to be back with you. Of course, this is the Mixed Bag. If you're a fan of the challenge final reckoning, check out the challenge pod over on same feed you're on here, but right here on the After Reality Podcast Network. So thanks for joining us, Will. What's good in your world?
Well, Big Brother just got real interesting. That's what's up.
It is. So, I mean, it's getting down to brass tacks here. There is plenty going on. We're down to the final four. We are broadcasting this week on a Wednesday. So we had the special live Wednesday episode tonight that we watched before coming on the pod. So we have a lot to dive into. Before we do, we'll remind everybody where they can find us online.
Check us out on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page of Facebook, and follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Subscribe wherever you download your podcast, iTunes, Google Play, or any other provider. Also, check out our website at afterrealitypodcast.com.
Yes, sir. This has been a really good Big Brother season. I know you just came back into the fold after a 16-season layoff last year. You've come back at a great time. Two really great seasons. You've gotten really lucky with this and with Survivor. You came back into Survivor, I guess, about three or four seasons ago. And yeah, it's been really good for three or four seasons, too.
I only watch the good seasons, man. You should know that by now. I only watch the good shows on the good seasons. Everything else, I don't care about.
I'm confused. How come you've watched a couple of the Bachelor seasons we've watched recently?
Boom! Because you make me.
We're doing people like it, so we like it.
A lot of people do like it. That's for sure. It's been great. I thought last season with Paul and Josh, I was like, wow, how can this be topped? This season's getting down to the point where we're gonna see some really, really cool stuff, I think, on the show. Super stoked.
It's something really, really interesting tonight. It didn't, the stars didn't align, but it was there for the taking, and we can jump into that in a moment. Let's go ahead and dive in. We didn't assign topics on our rundown, so it's going to be a bit of a free for all for Big Brother. I'll go ahead and kick things off. Last week we had the double eviction, which we've been waiting for all summer. Typically we have couple of these, and this one we didn't get a double eviction until we were down to seven people,
yeah.
And so we saw Haley leave, and we saw Brett get backdoored. Let's talk a little bit about these decisions. Will, were you on board with, obviously Haley is collateral damage, it is what it is, was Brett the guy to get out at that point in the game? Do you go another direction? Do you go another direction within your alliance? What's your take?
I understand why they did it, but I felt like JC could have been Brett's replacement for that. But I think JC's mouth hadn't caught up to everyone yet, where he hadn't outed what his plan was to enough people. And Brett had spoken up about it. So
pretty much the same plan for both those guys.
Right, exactly. So their plan got opened up and Brett got backdoored. Also, the reason that I understand that Brett got backdoored is because Brett could actually win a comp or HOH, because he's a little better of an athlete of these things. JC has not won anything to this point. So Brett, more of a threat at this point. Sucks. He was a big fan favorite of a lot of people I know. So
he was fun to have around.
He was.
Had a lot of energy. He was pretty smart with his gameplay. Someone that's been really impressive of late is Casey. She has won oodles of comps of like, I four vetoes, I think, in the last five chances, and also had an HOH in there. She's been a comp beast, and they threw out a stat tonight that was really impressive. Did you catch that? That between the three remaining members of level six, they've won 18 competitions.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's just nuts.
It's crazy because they weren't winning anything at first, right? They were getting beat up by the other side of the house. The other side of the house was winning the HOH. They won the veto kind of thing. So it's like they didn't win anything for a while.
So for some context here, Will, there's been – this is week 14 of the show. So we've had a HOH comp and a veto comp in those first 13 weeks. So 26 comps. And then this is the 27th. So 18 out of 27 comps, one of those three people have won.
That's pretty big, one-sided part of the house here that's winning stuff. But
all three,
not surprised.
We're also on my fantasy team for Big Brother.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, it's not that surprising. I mean, like, that side of the house, more athletic, just more gaming abilities overall. Other side of the house, more the lounging and hanging out and, you know, becoming friends.
This is atypical. It's not usually how Big Brother goes. Usually the athletes get knocked out quick.
Right, right. Because they think their heads are bigger than their abilities.
Exactly. Usually they're too much for them to sustain as an alliance all the way through. One of the few exceptions being the Derek Cody Beast Mode Cowboy alliance of a few years back. Obviously, Derek Levasseur was one of the best players of all time. And Cody was the brother of a hothead Polyon who's now on the challenge. But Angela's won the HOH, and her noms are for the two non-level six members, JC and Sam. Right, two nominations?
Yeah, that's all you can do at this point. You're not going to blow up level six. You're so close. Just these are dead weight.
I think if Angela has any chance to win, the smartest gameplay, not the smartest, like, make friends play at this point, is put Casey and Tyler on the block.
Agreed. But I think if Angela can get rid of Tyler, then she wins. I think if anybody gets rid of Tyler, they win. But how's Angela going to get rid of her boyfriend?
I think Tyler or Casey is sitting there at the end, and they're not against one another, they win. Tyler wins against whoever. Casey wins against whoever. It's tougher if they're against one another. That's kind of my take.
Yep. But that's what Tyler actually says. Tyler actually says he wants Casey because he wants to show that he doesn't have to get rid of all the strong people for him to win. That which I think is smart. For the last few weeks, I'm like, why would he want Casey? Why would he want Casey? When he finally said it, I'm like, that's a good point. If you can literally run the gambit of getting rid of everyone else and having other people have to do some of the harder work on your end, and then you get to sit next to the person that's also won as much as you have, but you've had the hand in everything from the get-go while Casey's just kind of recently stepped up, I think Tyler will show that he's good, as good as anyone's ever played, by kind of doing that, by losing to winning another person.
But this is assuming he has the ability to lay this all out there for the jury.
Totally. Absolutely. But I think this kid has been methodical the entire time. He has thought about every move he's made. He's been so conscious about everything he says to everyone. I think he's positioned himself and will reposition himself to show that off.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this as we get to kind of how this episode shook out. But I have a different strategy as a Big Brother fan. And we'll talk about it in a little bit, but why don't you take us in? Let's talk about this Vito comp.
Well, so I was going to ask you, so being that I've only watched 2.5-3 seasons in the last 20 years, has this surprise eviction night come up often or at all? Like, where they literally
did they don't call it surprise eviction?
Yeah, surprise eviction. There was no mention of this last week or anywhere really on, like, unless you're watching spoilers, because there's a couple places, Twitter handles will do that. There was no mention of this at all leading up to today. It literally happened as soon as Julie came on the screen.
Yeah, I was not expecting a live episode.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Is this? I mean, I'm sure it's probably happened at least once. They kind of do surprise episodes, but like, do you recall any of these ever happening?
Yeah, things happen down the stretch. That's atypical. It's not the same formula down the stretch usually.
Right. Okay,
you get a little you zig or you zag, and surprisingly, not all seasons are the same number of episodes.
Right.
You would think they would be.
Well,
there's usually like a random clips episode, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's this Sunday. And or maybe a random Friday episode, which if you remember last season, we had a couple of random Friday spots. And so there's no formula when you get late in the season on the show. They kind of switch it up. So while it was like, oh, wow, this is a live episode, it wasn't horribly surprising to me.
No, I think I understand why they have some of, like, we've already had our filler episodes. I think we're done with the filler episodes. According to Julie,
Julie Chin Moonves.
Yeah, I'm just going to drop that name now. According to her, she kind of laid out how the rest of the week shake out. I mean, like, this will be over within the next week and a half.
Show's over on Wednesday next week.
So, right, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, I guess a week from today. Sorry. This doesn't sound like there's any kind of filler episodes. I think we've already done that with the stupid engagement episode and the other thing they did not too long ago, which
the concert with Rex.
Yeah, like just so stupid. Like we're good. Like just end it. So I think we're looking at straight, like, unless they decide to cut a half episode into something. I think we're gonna be nonstop, just like firing away here.
We have a full night of Big Brother, all in one episode tomorrow night. Thursday.
Yeah.
And so we'll be down to the final three.
Right.
Which the final three, everyone's available to be the HOH. And you're basically picking the person that's going to the final two with you as the HOH. So that'll be interesting. Finish out this episode though.
Yeah, how did this episode even turn out? Getting the Vito comp, it's called BB Labyrinth. You got to lift the curse with a series of stations and to remove the sword from the stone, very much like King Arthur. You got to hit these stations. Every time you hit one station, you get 30 seconds to find the next station. If you don't find it, you have to start over. So it's a wizard and then two witches and three werewolves, because it's kind of the way it kind of builds up here. You have to find. Tully goes first. Seems pretty well. Go.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I've been really impressed over the last couple of weeks of some of the builds in the backyard.
Hell yeah.
We've had some things that are, I mean, we have classic Big Brother comps. We have the slip and slide thing. We have the looking in the mud for letters. We have OTEV. We all these different things. But even last week during the double eviction, they made the backyard look like a forest. They had these drops that came down the sides that looked really good, had a solid built out like looking background, and they didn't need it because they're playing a trivia game.
Yeah.
This maze this week, I feel like they've stepped up their game in the backyard this season. I just wanted to call it out.
No, I'm with you. I'm usually impressed with like wow, is this the same spot they had yesterday? So no, it's been really well done.
It's a it's not a big area out there that they're working with.
No, not at all. So going back to the game, Charlie goes first. Seems like he does pretty well. Only one restart. Ultimately, we kind of run through everyone else. JC actually starts off really well, and but you feel like he kind of gets through it a little bit better than some of the others. But the way it ends up shaking out,
well, they made it look like he kind of got his footing and then blew through it. So it seemed.
Yes, like of course. Well, also Casey seemed like she only stopped after her first one. She seemed like she timed out on one of them, and then it just ended there. So we didn't even see how Casey finished. And then Angela felt like she was going on forever. Turns out Sam was actually the one that timed out at 30 minutes.
I don't even know how that's possible. How did you see 30 minutes to do this?
You saw Angela running back and forth. Like she went through the same path like 30 times in a row. I don't know how she didn't her time wasn't 30 minutes.
I guess, to the point I just made though, backyard's not that big. The maze can't be that big. Have you ever done like a cornfield maze before?
I have, and I've gotten very confused in it.
Like I guess maybe like certain people are like good at a maze. I don't think it would be that hard once you establish, like, because you can look up and it's like, okay, I'm over by this part of the backyard right now. This is where this is, and then look up again and be like, I need to get back over there. So
sure.
Context clues would be helpful. You're thinking while you're doing this, which I would hope for. Sam,
I think it's just
30 minutes. Not real impressive.
All I can say is it's a really good fucking maze, man. So it shakes out. Casey, 546. Sam, 30 minutes. Tyler, 629. Angela, 1050. And JC with 1109, with Casey winning yet again. She picks up her fourth veto in the last five veto comps. Wow. Impressive.
She's balling out.
She is. I mean, honestly, I've never had a problem with this entire show. She kind of was a wallflower for a while, but eventually she actually kind of came out. I always liked her personality. Every time she had something, like when she dressed like a peanut and stuff, and the little glittery butterfly thing, like she's always had a good attitude about it. I've always kind of liked her. I just didn't like her on that side of the house. And
I've been meaning to go back, and I've been pulling for level six the whole time. So, but I need to go back. I think sometime in early July, maybe mid July, I picked Casey to win this thing, and she got a shot. I was like,
she took all excellent shots.
Yeah, I was like, hey, you know who's gonna win this? And I said it was Casey, and this made ring a bell. And you said, well, why? My answer was because she's never on the show.
Which is how people win. Everyone always says that. Yep. So gets on the veto choice. Casey, as predicted, was not going to change the noms. She keeps it JC and Sam.
What?
Level six dominates again.
What if anyone that wasn't Casey won this?
So yeah, I think Casey goes up immediately.
If
Sam or JC wins it.
If level six so chose, it doesn't matter if they had to put Casey up, but they could have sent Casey home. Because I mean, if you have to put her up, the vote's gonna be 1-1, presumably, and then Angela just breaks the tie. So you can keep her or you can just get her out, which would have been the boss move had they had that opportunity here. There wasn't an opportunity to even make the decision, but that would have been a very key moment in this game had that come to that crossroads.
Absolutely. No, I mean, if JC wins this veto, I mean, and Casey goes up there, I mean, like, whatever.
You had to make a tough decision at that point.
Absolutely. 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 Well, the fact that Angela is the HOH, kind of protects
Tyler. That would have been great for Tyler, though. If it's Angela and you know it's going to be a 1-1 vote and she's going to have to send Casey out, that's good for you as Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Tyler's in the best position, though, because as long as it's not him on the block, someone gets to go home that he doesn't have to send him. Yeah. And so, okay, so we get to the vote itself. All landslide. Sam goes out 2-0. I didn't like her speech because I'm tired of her folksy act, but I'm also like, just stand up for yourself and just try. Just say, hey, you know what? I really want to win. Like, she just gave nothing.
And you know what I would say? Because I've said it a few times.
Yeah. Like, just, I don't dislike her as a person. I'm sure she's a fine person, but this, she's needed to go for a long time. She basically been left, kept around the house because she cleans and she cooks. That's it. That's why she's stuck around as long as she has.
Well, hey, I have a problem with this decision. You should get rid of JC. And this is kind of goes towards what we were talking about a little earlier. Unlike Tyler, I want to sit next to the person that I know without a shadow of a doubt I can beat. Because I've been playing this game all summer and I want my 500 grand minus Texas.
Okay. But like,
I want to sit next to Sam. I want Sam in the house. Also, Sam in the house. I know she's not going to win a comp. So I know me and one of my homies is going to win it. And we find out why a little later on.
Well, I think it's a great move because what this does, it keeps JC in Tyler's pocket because JC was so worried about being sent home and how Tyler wasn't believing him.
He might fit in his pocket.
Right. Very much so. He could probably squat him while he's in his pocket too. Guy's got thick thighs. Anyway, I think Tyler, by keeping him around, it either for just a couple more days, right? Less than a week. I think it helps Tyler out in the long run because then Tyler doesn't have to send him home early and we have him all pissed off. I think he gets the best JC he can right now by keeping around just long enough. So I think it works out for Tyler that Sam goes home because Sam was going to ruin somebody's game anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying how I would play. I'm keeping.
I'm just looking at it from Tyler's perspective because I think he's still the front runner until he goes home.
But for you, if you're in the house, do you agree with let's keep strong people around me or do you want to sit next to the weak people that you know you can beat?
I think JC was only kept around just for his mentality and that he won't go poison the jury house with all of his crazy antics that he's been doing from the beginning. I think they kind of soften the blow a little bit that he goes home a little later and beats Sam at least. So yeah, I think
I guess you could make the case, and I think that's what you maybe did just a moment ago, what that Tyler knows JC is sticking with him.
Yeah.
Sam might not.
No, she's the wild card. So you send her home now when she's fine with it. She's like, okay, great. I'm going home. Bye. So, but we jumped to the HOH comp right from that point on after Sam goes home.
It was pretty funny. I mean, there's not a ton to talk about, but some of these what the bleep things were funny and even laughs from the studio audience.
Well timed, for sure.
The last year, Tyler bleeped Bailey and asked that Angela be backdoored. there were some other good ones.
The rock star one was good. She was like to, who do you blank? Probably yourselves.
Who would you like to bleep in this game?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. JC wins. He's going to the final three. It's his first win of any sort this entire season, which is a markup against his campaign for the title. Who does he put up in your
Casey opinion? Angela. Casey Angela.
I mean, those are the people he's been gunning for.
Yeah.
What happens if he's forced to, if a veto is used, he's got to put Tyler up, and then it gets really interesting because Tyler could go home.
And you could. I know. It's a scary thought that he's played the best game, and yeah, he's going to go home. He could go home because of that, because of JC.
I mean, 18 wins between the three of them. Any of them can win the veto. JC's not going to win it.
But yeah.
I feel like they happen at about the same clip. One of those three win. So
yeah.
Do you put those two up? Do you it's a tough call. Do you put him up or do you play for the veto?
You put him up. You put him up. That's his targets. It's who he's wanted. And I think he still rides the Tyler train of like, Tyler's got my back. Tyler's going to take me to the end because he said it. So I think once again, it's a good spot for Tyler.
Yeah. Well, JC will nominate him,
and then
I guess if JC wins it, he keeps it the same. If Tyler wins it, keeps it the same. If Angela wins it, you could argue she keeps it the same.
Oh,
because she knows Tyler's going to vote. Tyler's the only vote.
Yeah. It's such a weird position, right?
As long as Casey doesn't win it, it's Angela and Tyler and JC. I just don't. Yeah. I need Tyler to be in the end.
Yeah, I'm with you. Just like Paul last season, where I'm like, if he's not in the end, if he doesn't, he should have won. But if he's not in the end, something has gone really wrong and calling shenanigans all the way. But it's going to be exciting. I think this is going to be maybe more exciting than last season, which was a pretty good ending.
Yeah. Before we wrap up Big Brother, quick look over at the homegrown Big Brother 20 fantasy scorecard. Will, you're out of people. And this one is like, no, there's no research that helps you win this one because it's all live. You can't read bios on these people. I just got really lucky and ended up with these three comp beasts on my team. And usually this game shakes out to be in like a 10, 20 point difference at the end. And I'm up by 200 points.
Awesome. Let's just say you created the game. So whatever, man.
We're only winning points on comp wins.
Sure.
Yeah. You want to talk?
Congratulations, Spencer.
You want to talk some Shore of the Floribama and Jersey variety?
Well, let's run through that really quick.
What's up with everybody wanting to leave these shows? I mean, let's start with Jersey Shore. Paulie's gonna go DJ, and Ronnie's got his life in shambles. And now Jenny wants to go home.
Yeah,
and I've kind of got beef with Jenny. She just seems to insert herself into plot lines and drama that she really has no business being a part of.
She seems really bitter. Really bitter for some reason.
Yeah. Let me get your thoughts on this. The show is terrible if Paulie's not on it. Because he wasn't on it like the last episode and a half.
Yeah, I think without Paulie and Vinny together, the show is mediocre. 100%.
I mean, as soon as he comes back and finds Angelina, the stat line and dump in his bed, and calls in the sanitation crew, I'm back.
Yeah, I know.
Great, as long as Paulie's on.
I agreed. I mean, like, Vinny tried to make the Paulie thing work out for him and stuff, but just Vinny just doesn't have anybody to talk to because no one in the house is normal. Like, those guys aren't super normal either, but they're at least normal together to where they equal everything out and balance it out. Without them,
they're guys that we could hang out with.
Yes. Well, I think, yeah, they're just easy going. They want to have fun. They know it's funny, you know, they have a good time. So, yeah.
I guess theoretically you could hang out with sober situation. We could probably go have some good meals with them.
Oh, you and I would eat like crazy. Like,
yeah, Mike, order whatever you want.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, cool, man. Whatever you want to go to, let's just do it, right? Get that situation money.
He's not the situation. Yeah. He's the buffet.
Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah, he's that brunch buffet. It was famous in Las Vegas brunch buffets. But the secret
to that brunch buffet is you show up like right towards the end of breakfast. So you get breakfast and then you get the lunch. Yeah. You don't ever leave.
I think Mike's fun, but like Vinny needs somebody he can also like not have to listen to a guy put S's on the everything he says.
Well, Ronnie's not even really on the show because he's got real life stuff going on.
And Ronnie's not even easy to talk to. That guy's crazy.
Yeah, and this sounds weird to say, but Dina not being there, who she didn't really add anything to Reunion 1.
Yeah,
it creates a very different dynamic of her just not being there, not existing. Yeah. And I think it's hurting the season with her not being there to take Nicole and make her more interesting, maybe make Jenny more interesting and draw them away from some of the drama that exists around Ronnie and other stuff that's going on in the house.
Yeah, I can totally buy that. Even though I'm not a huge Dina fan, she does have her moments. She's super annoying yeah. when I take her out. She falls apart and completely makes a shit show of the whole situation. But I think you're right. She balances Snooki out to where Snooki and JWoww aren't like buddy-buddy and just like running through the house just causing trouble. So,
yeah.
I'm with you on that.
It's interesting that like she's the role player. She's the sixth man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Dion Waiters.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta get her in the game.
Or leave him on the bench. Either way.
I think the show actually only has one or two episodes left.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost done.
We'll be wrapping this up. Polly's back, so all's good with the world. I wouldn't mind seeing Polly DJ. I'd be curious to see how entertaining or not entertaining it was. I would hope it was entertaining.
I went to rehab. Not the actual rehab, but rehab at Hard Rock. This is when I would live in Vegas, and I just missed him DJing. It was the end of rehab, and he had already, I guess they had a couple DJs, and he had just left, so I missed it. I had a chance, and I missed it.
This is like early days of fame, Pauly D.
Yeah, no, this is right after Shore. I mean, like, he was just starting to get some action going. This is after. Yeah.
When did Shore end? Like 2013, 2014?
Guess so.
Was
that recent?
Is this when you were shooting Real World Vegas?
Or
just on a trip?
What was I doing? Jeez, my time frame's off. When did Jersey Shore air? Let's see. When did it actually air? Anyway, great radio. We can keep moving on from here. I'll look this up while we move on here.
I think the Shore started in 09 or 10.
Okay.
So Floribama Shore, staying with the Shore theme. People wanting to leave on that show, too. Like Candace wanted to pack up and get drunk, and they want to leave. Candace wanted to leave. Nielsen wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for Jeremiah, he has to go home because his grandfather dies. It's the second season in a row, one of the male cast members has their grandfather die and have to go home. So that's unfortunate.
Right.
And there's this whole Courtney pregnancy drama. And then now almost like depression that she wasn't having a baby and wishing that she was. A lot of stuff to unpack on this show. It's gotten really heavy and not as fun as it once was. I did on the most recent episode enjoy the dynamic where Kurt and Kodai and Gus all went to Harpoon Harry's and just talked about their feelings and drank big fruity drinks. Been to Harpoon Harry's a few times. It looked a lot different than I remembered it from the early aughts on spring break. But I don't know where to go with this show. I mean, we had the whole Gator J 231 Southside God drama, and now the Logan's coming back in the scene, dropping off flowers in the middle of the night, beating on the door. I'd be so pissed if I was all those guys that are just passed out. Do you notice that Gus is passed out in his bed with no shirt on, and then comes downstairs and has a white button all the way to the top, coming to the door?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they actually had edited that in sequence.
I think there's a continuity problem.
Yeah, but
you were doing a little internet research over there.
Yeah. So Jersey Shore was in 09. I was in Vegas around 11. So 2 years or so he had been around. Okay.
This is
some of my buddies at work.
The Shore popularity around season three. And a
couple of the guys I worked with had just come off the Shore to do Real World. So that was kind of our in.
Beat that beat up.
Beat that beat was happening for sure. But Shore, yes, I think it's still good. I still chuckle at every episode. I love Kodai and like Kurt's dynamic. I feel like those guys are pretty hilarious.
Of one-liners every episode.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like it's been pretty heavy this season, which honestly, I mean, like I said, this has been like a more of a spin of it, like an old Real World season where it's like, it's just raw. They're just kind of living and stuff is happening. And like things are actually happening around them. People dying and things happening, like serious things. So I still treat it as such and I can look at it just like a newer version of like a Real World. So I've appreciated it. I know it's not as crazy as a flat, but I still enjoy it. Like I still like, it's definitely something we look forward to watching because the kids are pretty interesting and they are like, they do come together pretty well. And you know, you feel like they actually do get along with each other. It's not just for TV. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still enjoy the show. It is like old school Real World. It's shot in a similar way.
Yeah.
It took us some getting used to in season one because we hadn't seen it in so long, but it's good TV. Something we didn't talk about was this behavior of Nielsa this week that getting so wasted when they were going out to have a drink with Jeremiah.
Yeah. And
being such an ass to this local gentleman who was being friendly and nice with the guys and then goes home and throws a complete fit and has allegedly no recollection of ever mouthing off to this guy. Like, this was a big enough an event that there's no way you were, and you didn't appear that drunk. There's no way that you don't know what happened. You're just acting like you don't know what happened.
She's a train wreck. Straight up.
Well, her role's been significantly diminished this season. This on the lady side of the house, it's been all Candace and Courtney. With a little Amy sprinkled in, but Nielsa has not been a main focal point other than her trying to hook up with Gus at one point, and then she's the one that peed in the console in the cab, right?
Yeah. Early season.
That happened.
Yeah. I feel like she doesn't have much to offer. Like, she's not going through anything. She's not doing anything. I think this episode was all about her getting attention because she needs it. And that's what she got. So, yeah. Yep.
We said at the top of the show, maybe a little Bravo, any Bravo stuff you want to get into or mention?
Below Deck Reunion was interesting. Not to get really deep into it, but I'm going to miss this season. Enjoyed it. I wish Colin and Jamie had more to say on the reunion.
Who would you most like to see come back on Captain Sandy's boat?
Conrad's not coming back. She made that very clear.
you as a viewer, like if you're picking the one or two people that you get to see again, who are you choosing?
I think I'd love to see. I think I would take Hannah just because of the drama she brings. Adam, I think I've really grown to like Adam a lot more. And I would take Colin and Jamie. When they were on there, they were funny and they made some interesting, they were fun to have around, but we just not get much of them because they weren't hooking up and doing everything else, behind the rest of the crew's back. So, I think Joao, I'm good with Joao. I think we've seen Joao. I don't think he's going to be any different. Brooke is very nice and very sweet, but doesn't bring much to the table unless she's hooking up with an insane person.
Yeah. Adam was my favorite last season. I like him even more this season.
Mm-hmm.
More on his game. And I'm with you. I really like Colin. It's no secret on this podcast. I have a disdain for Hannah. I don't want Hannah to come back. I'm sure she'll be back because she's spanned both captains on this show.
Yep.
I think that's true, right? She's done all three seasons of Mediterranean, the first one with Captain Mark and the last two with Captain Sandy.
Yep.
So I'm an OG. So we have OG Below Deck coming soon with the King of the Sea.
Stoked.
The Stud of the Sea, that's what it is.
Stud of the Sea.
And we're out in Tahiti, Western Polynesia, or French Polynesia. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be different.
Yeah, it's a new landscape.
Same old. And I love that part of the world. Anybody knows me, I haven't been to Tahiti, but I love the islands. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully they put together a good crew. I would really like Kate just to go away. I don't think I've seen who the chef is. I've
pretty much all new crew.
I've steered clear of the cast for the new season, but and watching Shaw's, watching Real Housewives of Dallas, keeping up the best I can with those over there. Anything else that you're watching?
Bravo, not as much. Some Housewives. I tried to keep up with Dallas, but Bethany keeps watching it ahead of me, so I've missed a couple episodes. But yeah, Bravo's kind of a slow time for me right now. But it'll change, I'm sure.
Have they announced is the next Top Chef season the one that's in Louisville?
Yeah, it's announced. I don't know I don't think it's filming right now.
Okay. Or has it maybe already filmed?
I don't think it has. I don't think it has. I'm not 100% sure.
Gotcha.
I've seen some of my friends at work on it. They haven't been posting much from things, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So all new crew other than Kate is the case. I was hoping that we might get Ben back, but we don't have Canadian Matt Chef back either. Have a gentleman named Adrian Martin. So looking forward to meeting these cats. It looks like a pretty attractive group of people here. You have
go figure.
You have Captain Lee and the chef, and then four guys, and then three ladies. So I'm waiting for the season where we get a male stew. We've had female deckhands, but we haven't had a male stew. It's got to happen
at some point. Might happen this season. You never know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Time will tell.
You want to get through here on the mixed bag before we cut out?
No. 90 Day Fiance and Born This Way. If you're not watching it, you should do it.
I'm just afraid to jump in midstream.
I as I've told you, don't watch it midstream. Start just find it from the beginning. Just download it and watch it. You're going to be impressed.
I think the fall might be a good time for that because things are getting ready to start slowing down. We'll have a couple of Bravo shows and Survivor. And I think that'll really be all we have on our radar for the fall. So that may be the time for me to make a time investment there. I am cautiously optimistic around a show that comes on this coming Monday. It will air on CBS. It is a remake of one of my favorite shows of the 1980s, Magnum P.I.
Oh, I was going to say Murphy Brown.
I'm going to watch it with an open mind that it's not going to be the same show, but I'm a little disappointed in some of the casting, and we'll leave it at that. And maybe I'll report back on kind of the scripted news portion of the mixed bag here in the next week or two on thoughts on Magnum P.I.
I think you'll be alone on that one.
I said I'd be reporting back. I didn't say we would be, unless I have a mouse in my pocket.
No, like you might be the only person that cares about Magnum P.I.
Well, there's plenty of people that are age 50 or older that the original series. I've been slowly watching my way through the 8 seasons of Magnum P.I. over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I'm about 5.5 seasons into 8 seasons of it.
You can find Spencer on the Magnum P.I. podcast, yeah. The Bachelor Network podcast.
All right, let's get out of here. Before we do, remind everyone where they can find us online.
You can find us at magnumpi.com. Spencer will be living permanently. Follow us on Twitter at After Reality Pod and like the After on Twitter. Follow us on After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Reminder to subscribe and download it from any of your podcast providers, iTunes, Google Play. Also, check us out at AfterRealityPodcast.com on our website. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at IFellOver45.
You can find me at Spencer Kitley on Twitter. And until we see you next time on the bag, look around in the bag, see what else we should be watching, and we'll talk to you soon.